Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here. With me in the studio today is Dedek Develing. Welcome.
Thank you, Larry.
Now, you're from Netherlands, and where do you live in Netherlands?
I live in Apeldoorn.
Apeldoorn, where's that?
It's an hour to the east of Amsterdam.
Okay, now some people talk about Holland, other people talk about Netherlands. Educate me.
Yeah, that's quite confusing.
It is.
We are called the Netherlands as a country, and okay. Holland is just a part, the west part of the Netherlands.
So would Apeldoorn be in Holland?
No.
Interesting. Yeah. Very interesting. So many people say, oh, I've been to Holland, you know. Of course, I've been in Netherlands various times, and I know the difference. So Holland is the western part of the Netherlands.
Exactly, exactly.
So is there another name to the eastern part?
No, we have provinces. We have 13
really?
Provinces,
wow.
And two of them are Holland, North Holland and South
really?
Holland.
You're teaching me all this new stuff today. Wow, yeah. This is cool. Well, look, we want to talk about leadership. This is a leadership podcast, and you've been leaders in business. You've had leaders in youth ministry, leaders in church ministry. Today, apostolic ministry, you oversee Dove Europe today. So let's go back to the beginning when you were growing up. And did you grow up in a Christian family? How did you come to Christ?
I was raised in a Christian family, but I always struggled with the Lord. He felt far.
Okay.
And so when I was about 24, 25, yes. Already married, I was at the moment that I thought, okay, I will stop, not stop believing that God exists, but stop trying to do the Christian life.
Okay.
And there was a guy in our church, I'm from Brethren Church, and this guy had a special course from Campus Crusade for Christ. And he did it for the young people. So we signed up. I signed up. My wife signed up and a lot of others. And I think the third lesson was about quiet time.
Yeah.
And I hated it, quiet time. Even the word quiet.
Yeah, right.
It's boring.
It was like boring time.
Yeah, exactly, boring time.
Yeah.
And so I said up front, I said, well, this is not my subject
right.
Because I was always struggling with it. If I tried to read the Bible, it was difficult. If I tried to pray, I fell asleep.
Yeah.
So that was not my topic. But this guy, he explained it very clearly, very simple. How can you pray before you read the Bible? How can you ask the Holy Spirit to help you? And he had some specific questions you can try to answer. And I said that evening, I said, yeah, let's do it. So the next morning, I went to the shop, buy a notebook, and just started.
That's amazing.
And from that moment, it started touching my heart when I was reading the Bible. Because
right.
I never prayed, never asked the Holy Spirit to help me to
sure.
understand.
Sure.
So it was a new experience. And I think that it was 2-3 months later. I was reading Psalm 119, that long one.
The longest in the Bible,
Exactly. In a way, I didn't have a clue why David was so boasting about the law. But through that, and I can't explain, God asked me a question in my heart, not an audible voice, but in my heart.
Yeah.
Dedek, do you want to surrender your whole life to me?
Wow.
Wow, and I find it a quite tough, big question. So I struggled with it for an hour. And I thought, okay, if I ignore the question, then actually I say no. So it was the 20th of April, 2000.
Yeah.
I wrote down in my notebook, I surrender my whole life, my business,
amazing.
My finances, my car, my future, my dreams, my wife.
Wow.
Today, you're the owner, and this is my decision.
Jesus truly became your Lord.
Yeah.
Wow. And what happened then?
Yeah, at first, it was in the morning. In the afternoon, I was working behind my computer. And I looked around, and there was no different feeling. There was no pink cloud.
Right, right.
But I knew that he heard me.
Yeah.
And a week later, the weeks after, I start experiencing a change, but a change from inside. Because before I was always trying to live for Jesus, I was trying myself, and now things were changing in my heart.
Yeah.
I start to understand the Bible even better. I start to overcome sin. I started to love my wife even more.
Wow.
And I saw people around me. And of course, the people were already there, but I saw the person behind the person.
Right.
Yeah. That was the beginning of the story.
That's amazing. So you were in your 20s, correct?
Yeah. I was 24. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the first time I met you, you were a young pastor, had all these young people in your church, I remember. When did you first realize there's a leadership call in your life? Was that even before you were a Christian?
That's a good question. No, the call, it came later. It was when I met Ron Meyer.
Uh-huh.
He explained leadership. And,
okay.
I was raised in a Brethren church, in that Brethren church, there were no leaders, not appointed and not recognized.
That's right.
So I felt leadership was a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my background. And then Ron Meyer explained that a church needs a leadership team and a senior leader.
Whenever you have a group of people, whether it's a business or a church or a society or whatever, you need leadership, not dictatorial leadership, servant leadership, but you need leadership and a team of people to work with them.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that is really, really cool. So talk about the early days when you, and you worked at it. You had a disco, you and your wife, Hanukkah, you know, and kids came to Christ. And talk about that side of your life. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, we were in Stellenbosch, Cape Town area, South Africa, and we were in a very big church with a lot of youth.
Mm.
And we said to each other, would it be great if we have something in our town in Apeldoorn?
Oh, wow.
So we came back and we've gathered some people around us and we started, let's say it was not a church, but there was a youth outreach in a club, in a discotheque.
Right.
Every month. And a lot of non-Christians came there. And in that time, I think about 25 people publicly said, I want to follow Jesus.
Okay.
So it was an amazing time. And what we thought, okay, we will send these young people to churches.
Uh-huh.
So we made a whole list of all churches. But at the end, after a couple of years, we recognized there was only one guy who went to a church and the other 25 or even more.
Really?
We were lost.
Sounds like something Jesus said one time. He said, when you have new wine, you put it in new wineskins, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you put it in old wineskins, the wineskins break. And talk about the structure or the church or whatever. And so you experienced it. So what did you do then?
Yeah, first we started small groups in our town. We had 7 small groups.
Okay.
And then we tried to gather them in the small groups. And after a while, there was a guy, he said, this is my church. And I was a bit shocked. I think, well, no, this is just a small group.
Right.
So now I had to learn and to recognize that it's allowed to start a new church, a new expression of the body of Christ.
Yeah. I remember we were going through that same kind of thing in Pennsylvania. We wanted to baptize these young people when they came to Christ. Same kind of a deal. And I didn't know we're allowed. I think we're allowed to do that. Yeah. So I talked to a local pastor, and he said, well, I'll baptize him before he did. And then we had more came to Christ, and I called him. He said, why don't you do it? I said, oh, me? I'm not ordained. I'm not a pastor. I'm just a Christian, you know. He said, no, in the Bible, you know, Jesus' disciples, they baptize people, and you can baptize people. And so it's interesting when you see what the Bible really says about some of those things. And that's how we grow in leadership, obviously. So what happened next then? So you baptized, and what happened next?
Then I understood that it was allowed and even felt the calling. It took a while.
Right.
But then it's okay, well, maybe we are already a church.
Yeah.
So maybe just launch it now.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And we did some preparation and we had some conversation with the church we're in. And they blessed us to start.
Sure.
They were not happy. But they could bless us
sure.
to start a new church.
They knew you weren't rebellious. You just had these new people that needed more of God, and you were there to help them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we started a community church in town and with a lot of young people, and it was growing very fast.
Mm-hmm. I remember those days.
Yeah. But after a while, and that's also, there are also leadership lessons. But after 3 years, it would start declining.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was confusing for me because mm-hmm. I expected to only go up.
Me too. I remember when the same thing happened to us. Yeah.
So then we were with, first with 70 people and then 50 people. And at the end, there were 20 people uh-huh. left and we had a big building. And then we thought, okay, what's happening? And at the end, we still believed in the DNA, and but we said, okay, we will bury it. Mm-hmm. We will put it in the ground and we will stop meeting as a church.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very painful. It was my spiritual child
mm-hmm.
that died.
Right.
And I lost confidence. I wanted to hide under the ground and I felt like a failure. So it was really a tough time. And yeah. I remember I was in my house looking at the bookshelf, all the books about church. And I thought it's all rubbish.
Uh-huh.
I want to throw it all away. But because there was nothing to do, didn't need to prepare preachings.
Right.
I didn't need to pray for the church. I was left alone with the Lord. And that was a good season. That was really mm-hmm. good. So just pray for myself, read the Bible for myself. And God did a lot of restoration and healing yeah. inside of me, of us.
Yes.
And actually, in the end, if we look back, it was a wonderful season.
Really?
Yeah.
Good.
It feels like God rescues us from being a church pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that sounds a bit strange, but we now know that we are not really, we are pastoral, I'm pastoral, I love people,
mm-hmm.
but we're not called to pastor a church in that way.
Right. So today, you're serving people, making disciples, you're doing that today. You have a church today, a church, a house church, right?
Yeah, home? It's a house church, yeah.
And, of course, that's happening all over the world. You know, there's house churches springing up all over the world. And has that been a joy to you?
Yeah, and it's so easy. Because I remember the times that we had the community church.
Yeah.
It was a hassle to set everything up and everybody was tired and burned out because they have to set up the church. And nowadays with the house church, it's so simple. You don't need a lot of money. You don't need a lot of time. You need only some coffee and a place to meet.
Yeah. What's it look like?
Very informal, and it will be different every week.
Okay.
So we don't have a set schedule, but we are just family. Mm-hmm. So we are a spiritual family, and sometimes you prepare something, but then on the first 5 minutes you hear that somebody's mother is quite sick, and you can just go on with the program, but that's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So then you spend maybe 20 minutes or maybe even an hour helping this person and
right.
praying for the situation.
Right.
And yeah. And there's worship. We are not good at worship because we don't have a big band. And
right.
But we worship with YouTube. And sometimes
sure.
we are just saying words to God without music.
Mm-hmm.
There's always, by example, we made a list of people who don't know Jesus. Everybody could pick two or three people who are on their heart. And we pray for these people every week. And we see things happening and people getting hungry for the Lord and good conversations. And and of course, there's the Bible. We sometimes use Discovery Bible Studies.
Sure. Tell us what that is.
Yeah, it's very, what I like about it, it's a way to discover Jesus and discover God through the Bible. But what I like, everybody can do it. It's just a set of questions,
mm-hmm.
And you discover together. It's more, let's say, group learning, who Jesus is, what the Bible says, how you can apply. So it's a set of questions,
mm-hmm.
And it's very simple to do.
That's great.
So you don't need to be a Bible teacher to do a Discovery
right.
Bible study.
In fact, we'll put the information on the show notes about Discovery Bible study, so anybody wants to do that, get them started on what a Discovery Bible Study really is and how you ask questions and different people respond. And it's a great, great way to study the Bible. So what are things you wish you would have known when you started? You know, you look back and think, wow, I wish I would have known this. What, you know, the things you would do differently today, what are things you wish you would have known back then?
I think you have to acknowledge that you are called as a leader.
Good.
And that is not something you made up yourself.
Yep.
But that God is calling you as a leader. He created you as a leader. And it's just accepting that.
Good.
I remember it was years ago. We went with a group of youth to a kind of Christian festival. And we were camping there with a lot of fun. And then they looked all the time to me. And I said, okay, Derek, what will we do? And I said, okay, what do you mean? What do you want to do? And the group couldn't decide. And finally, I took the decision. And I was a bit tired of it. Why don't you make your decision yourself? And then I felt, okay, so maybe a group needs leadership. Uh-huh. And it's just accepting, if you like it or not, that you are a leader.
Yeah. That's so good. There's a myth that you don't need leadership. The truth is, people say, well, I'm a Christian, God's my leader. And he is. And we live by his word. It's on and on. That's true. But there's a need for leadership. If there's a group of people, there's a need for leadership. I mean, Jesus was a leader. He was a servant leader, but he was a leader. Paul was a leader. I mean, throughout the scriptures, you see that again and again and again. And truth is, one man of God once said, if God's appointed leader doesn't lead, there'll be someone who'll lead, but it'll be the wrong person. And they're the ones, because somebody will lead, you know. You say, no, and in fact, I found if there's a group of people and they say, no, we don't have a leader, we're all leaders together. You listen really close. The person who says it the most or says it the loudest is usually the leader. I mean, really, yeah. I've seen that again and again. Hi, Larry Kreider here. Before we continue with the episode, I want to announce my new segment, Ask Larry. It premieres in season 3 of the podcast. I want to hear from you. Starting next season, I'll be answering your leadership questions and covering the leadership topics that you want to hear about. To submit your questions, visit the show notes and click the link below. And as always, thank you for listening. Now, let's get back to the episode. Of course, today, not only do you guys have this house church, your heart has planted many more house churches, and you work with leaders throughout Europe. You're involved in Dev Global Family. You and Hanukkah lead the International Apostolic Team for Europe. It's been fantastic. That's fairly recent, so congratulations to that role.
Thanks.
You're doing a great job in that role.
It's an honor.
Let's talk a bit about your business. How did you get involved in business? Let's talk about some things you learned about business leadership, because a lot of these principles apply both ways, whether it's church or business. Yeah. You know, talk about that.
Yeah, I was just when I was in my studies, I started my first company doing some computer repair things to earn some money. I could work with a small job at the grocery store, or I can do something for myself.
Yeah.
And I choose the last one. And when I was finishing my studies, I had a business, and it was thriving, and it was I was working for bigger companies.
What was your business? What did you do?
Helping them to set up internet things.
Wow.
It was in the time of the internet bubble.
Right.
So there was a lot of, if you could spell the word internet, you had a lot of work. It was really crazy that time.
Yeah. And so you've had various businesses over the years, right?
Yeah.
And so what was your next business after that?
So then I started with some partners. I started more than agency, a website agency. So we developed websites, web apps, web shops.
Mm-hmm.
I had a side hustle. It was in furniture.
Really?
Yeah. So I set up a couple of businesses.
Okay. So you ran those businesses at the same time?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And what business are you getting into now? What's your latest?
It's consulting. So we have a consulting firm, and we help companies, small businesses, to market their business.
Yeah.
And it's not done for you, but it's done with you. So we help them to get the knowledge, get the tools, get the frameworks, and our support to do it themselves.
That's great. Yeah. So in light of your business knowledge, light of your church knowledge and leadership on both sides, and you gave examples already how what works one place can also work another place. Anything else you learned over the years about leadership in general? You say, somebody comes to you, they're a younger leader, and they say, Derek, you've been in business leadership, you ran a couple of companies, you're in church leadership. Talk to me about leadership. What would you tell them? What are some basics?
The first one is lead.
Yeah.
Just do it. Yeah. Take that first small step.
Good.
To lead a group. And I remember the first time we did the Alpha course, two friends of me and I, so the three of us. And the first time, the first guy led, and the second time, the second. And then the third time, said, Derek, now you have to do it. And I said,
Yeah.
I didn't expect, but just to lead for the first time, right, a group or something, you start learning. So
you do.
Just do it and try. And if you're even not sure if you're called for leadership, just lead something. That's the first thing I would say. Good. To a young leader. Second thing is make mistakes. Mm-hmm. Give yourself.
Don't be afraid to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Or not make mistakes by purpose.
Right. Of course.
But don't be afraid to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Because by these mistakes you can learn. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So a younger leader comes to you and says, "You know, what advice do you have for me as a younger leader?" You're saying, "Lead. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Just take a step of faith and start to do it." Is there anything else you would tell them? Anything else that comes to you as you look back, because you've been involved again in leadership in these different focuses? Is there anything else that comes to mind, or anything you would do different now? You look back and think, boy, I'd do that differently today.
Yeah, I think I learned in the years that it's very important to lead as a team.
Yeah.
In the past, I was just the front runner. I was
okay.
In front, and the group was a couple of miles behind. And now I'm more in line with the group. And of course, I acknowledge that I'm the primary leader.
Yeah.
But I want to see, if I look to the left or right, I want to see my team.
Okay, what do you do to align with others? What have you learned about that, to make sure you're aligned with others on your team?
I just ask a lot of questions.
Okay.
So ask questions about how they find it, if they share the vision, if they understand the vision, if they're happy with the direction. So they, first of all, you get a lot of knowledge, and feedback from them.
Yeah.
But the second thing is they feel a part of the whole thing.
They have ownership with you.
That's
good.
That's the right word.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Wow. Well, you've been a great leader, and there's a lot to come. You told me recently something I'd like you to expound on. And you said things have changed, and we all know that around the world, things have changed a lot. But even in business, and people are getting jobs or starting businesses, that it's a much quicker turnaround today. And you said it better than I'm saying it. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. I was raised in the tech world.
Mm-hmm.
So I was one of the first internet users in the Netherlands.
Right.
In 1994.
Wow.
So I've seen the whole development, and I can program and code myself. So I understand everything, how it works. But the development is so extremely quick that it almost scares me. And I like it, and it scares me.
Yeah.
But it's developing. The world is developing, if we look at the technological world, so quick that it means also the society will change. And so normally, if by example, I started in 2018, I started a new business. And it was thriving. We earned a lot of money. We were doing good. And now we're 2023. And the world is changed, and it affects my business.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm learning, and I like to encourage other leaders to be open for change all the time. So don't expect, if you're starting a church or a business or whatever, that it will work the same way for 10 years.
Yeah.
But expect in two or 3 years, people change and society change and technology changes. So the change is constant, and it's so quick that you can't depend on what you have today for tomorrow.
Wow. You know, I heard many years ago someone said, the only thing that is constant is change. you know, really. And I think today that's more true than it's ever been before, as long as I've been, you know, as long as I can remember, as I look back on my life. It was a joy to have you today, Derek. Thank you so much for being on the Larry Carter Leadership Podcast, offering these insights in leadership, both from the business side, and, you know, the secular side, quote unquote, of course, all the kingdom of God, we know that. And also from the church side and how that has worked in your life. Also, thank you for straightening out so many thousands of people about the difference between Netherlands and Holland. We now have that straight. Thank you. been a great joy to walk with you. And Hanukkah, your wife, of course, she's in business too. She's done the same thing. You're kind of a power couple, I would call you. And again, thank you. Thank you for being on. Everyone else, check out the show notes. More about Derek Devling, some of the things we've talked about here, Discovery Bible Studies, other things we've talked about here. Check that out. This is the Larry Crider Leadership Podcast. We learn these small things that we can change that make a massive difference in our lives and the lives of those we serve. God bless you. Have an amazing week.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.